Healing Marriage Sunday. And the goal today is that we want to paint a beautiful picture for you of marriage, as well as you're going to see we're going to explore a lot of practical ways to make a real difference in the marriages of those around us. And so my prayer for you today is that you will desire to honor, bless, and encourage every marriage in your family and in our church. And I know that's very easy for us to get discouraged by the current state of marriage, from the divorce rate in our country to the redefinition of traditional marriage. We need to guard our hearts from giving up on the idea of biblical marriage, that we must never give up on the marriages that are around us. Don't lose hope, because you can make a difference. And it may seem like sometimes we're hopeless to change the course of marriage in our culture, but our calling from Christ is that you and I would help bless and change the direction of marriages that are around you. And so I'm thinking about, as a question for you, what would happen if you and I committed to honor just one marriage for an entire year? If you were to pick one couple to support and encourage towards a thriving marriage, you may not be able to move the needle on the national divorce rate, but you may be a catalyst for change in your own family, your own community. And together as a church, that we might be able to unveil the love, the life, and the power of Christ in marriages. Now, most marriage sermons that are spoken directly to, like couples or marriage, we talk about things like communication and intimacy or the difference between men and women. And today is not about that. This may not be what you expect. Instead, we're going to seek to equip every Christian to honor and bless couples in your families, in your churches, in your neighborhood, in your community, and even in your workplace. This is a marriage message for everyone that's here, not just for those who are married. Why are we giving that kind of message? Because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, tells us, let marriage be held in honor amongst all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. And so the picture here, the big idea, is that every follower of Jesus, whether you're single, married, younger, or older, we're all called to esteem marriage as highly valuable. Every Christian. And if Jesus is your Savior, then you are called to honor marriage. And we believe that every Christian has a ministry, that we are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your ministry as a follower of Jesus includes preparing single people who will choose marriage, encouraging spouses or celebrating couples, equipping parents to teach kids how to develop godly relationships, even starting at an early age. And so we want to start off by tackling this idea that if you're married, we want you, of course, to first be sure to esteem your own marriage as highly valuable. And the way we do that, first and foremost, is protecting your marriage from infidelity. As we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, we need to keep the marriage bed undefiled. And that picture is that marriage is this covenant, a holy, sacred covenant relationship that consists of three people, man and woman side by side with God at the head. And so in that covenant of three, don't allow wiggle room for other people to tempt you or to wedge themselves into your relationship. If you are not married, if you are dating right now, good practices of purity start now, before you get married. Some of us, we have the mentality, well, I'll take being more pure and having integrity when I'm married. But that's kind of like stepping up to the starting line of a marathon, but you've never trained, so you don't know how to run long, you don't know how to run the right way, you run with crazy legs all over the place, and you discover too late that you have no endurance, no skill, no power to last, that you bring bad habits and baggage that you've never corrected into marriage, and then you struggle with purity and integrity because you didn't develop it as part of your routine practices before marriage. Spouses, not only do you esteem marriage by protecting it, but also by investing in one another in your marriage. And so we demonstrate that our heart is into our marriage by investing our time and our energy into that. And that communicates to your spouse, your family, your friends, your kids, that we esteem marriage, we esteem each other as highly valuable. So for married people, I want to start off by asking you, do you value your spouse by seeing them as someone who is personally autographed by God? A person made in the image of God, worthy of dignity, worthy to be treated with honor. Do you honor your marriage by keeping your covenant vow, regardless of what the other person does or does not do? I remember Pastor Dennis gave a great message once, and one of the things that he talked about is how a covenant isn't just a contract where, well, if you keep your part, and then I'll keep my part. But if you break your part, then I'm released from that bounds. But a covenant is if I make a promise to do these things, regardless of if you do your part or not. And we see that most pictured in our relationship with Jesus. That once we enter a covenant relationship with Him, when He calls us and elects us into being saved and in a relationship with Him, that even when you mess up, even when you sin terribly, that there's no sin that you can commit that is too great for the blood of Jesus to forgive. And so He upholds His covenant even when we fail to keep our side. And the same goes for when we make a covenant with other people in marriage. God's heart is for permanence in marriage. Take the word divorce out of your vocabulary and honor marriage by gifting your children with a mom and dad who love each other and enjoy each other. Now, this takes us to the heart of today's message. That's all I'm going to talk about to married couples. Not only do we need to esteem our own marriage as highly valuable, but we also need to esteem every marriage as highly valuable, thinking of it as a duet, two people in need of great backup singers. I want you to picture it this way. Every Christian should be equipped to function as a great backup singer. So a lot of our text today is going to come from, we're going to jump around in Song of Songs, which I know very few people have heard messages preached out of. But Song of Solomon is an 8-chapter book in the Old Testament. And this entire book is about King Solomon and his wife, this Shulamite woman, or some people interpret it as a shepherd boy and his bride. And throughout this book, they sing this love lyric, their love lyrics back and forth to each other. So this whole book is a love song. And their song is this beautiful melody of love and romance, passion, and intimacy. Now, the cool thing about this book is their duet is enhanced by backup singers. It's really cool. And sometimes referred to throughout the book as the Daughters of Jerusalem, or oftentimes simply just the chorus. And the first time we hear them harmonize from the background is in chapter 1, verse 4. Where it reads in Song of Solomon, chapter 9, verse 4, when they sing, "We will exult and rejoice in you," not talking about the couple. "We will extol your love more than wine." Now, of course, Song of Solomon is more than just about marriage and love. Of course, it points us to the love of Christ and God. But these backup singers, they sing about how much they rejoice in and praise the love that this couple has for each other. And so from the moment that this woman expresses attraction and desire for her man in chapter 1 to their conflict after their honeymoon, these backup singers rejoice in and praise the love of this couple. And their harmony reminds us to be advocates for marriage itself, not just for the husband, not just for the wife. Every time this chorus sings, they are 100% for the success of this couple's marriage. Now, how refreshing is that? These backup singers know love when they see it, and they seek to build it up rather than tear it down. So here's the main challenge for you this morning. Like that couple in Song of Solomon, your marriage is surrounded by backup singers. Some of those voices are encouraging and bless your marriage. Others may lead to doubt, may lead you to lose hope. And bad backup singers, they bring discord to their duet. They say things like, "You never should have married him. She will never change. You've tried everything. It's just best if you just end it here." Good backup singers, on the other hand, will say things like, "I believe that Jesus breathes life into dead people and into dead marriages. Don't lose hope. Let's keep praying for your marriage miracle. Have you looked into a marriage counselor or maybe a conference or a marriage class? Or why don't the two of you come over to my place for dinner and let's see what we can do to help you through this?" And so I want to encourage you, maybe it's time to turn down those backup singers who take your duet off key. Turn up the volume on those who know how to honor and bless your marriage. Because Proverbs 27, verse 17 reminds us that iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Find godly biblical people who can sharpen your marriage. Now, how does this apply to all of us as a congregation? You are a backup singer. Whether you are single, whether you are a spouse, whether you are a parent, all of us, no matter what season of life you find yourself, you are responsible to raise your voice to bless marriages around you. And I want to challenge you, let your voice be one that couples want to turn up, not tune out. And so I want to start off by asking, what kind of backup singer are you? Is the song that you sing in the background of other people's marriages one of discord or one of harmony. Now you're thinking, well, what do we do with that? Let's give you five practical ways this morning to honor, to be a backup singer for marriages around you. If you turn to Proverbs, or you don't have to, I'll just read it for you. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 19, you'll see that Proverbs is this collection of godly wisdom, many from a dad to a son. And so I want you to picture a dad. I'm kind of translating into modern times, but picture a dad who's sitting on the edge of his son's bed, and he's instructing his young son on life, on relationship with God, with other people. And this dad pictures a special future for his son's marriage. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 19 says, let the fountain... Sorry, my eyes, I forgot to put on my glasses. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice, there you go, in the wife of your youth. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. In other words, son, you're young. And you may fall in love someday, may get married. And this dad is saying, I want that for you. I want it to be a joy for you. And so this dad is teaching his son that marriage is normal and good and godly. And teaching his son that way can be done through every phase of someone's childhood. Parents, you are raising spouses right now. Dads, day may come where you stand at the back of a church, you're going to walk your daughter down the aisle. And some of the best moments that a dad ever has that are caught on camera is a father speaking a blessing over his daughter as they come to the altar. And I want to encourage you not to wait till that day to speak a marriage blessing over your children. Prepare her or marriage while they are still a small child. You see, like the dad in Proverbs, you can honor your child's marriage even from an early age by helping them to picture a special future, a godly future. Well, what does that look like? Dr. Kevin Lehman, a Christian psychologist, says, I want you to imagine your child comes home one day and says, Mom or Dad, I want a pony. And too often we shut that down with very practical talk. We can't afford a pony. Who's going to care for it? Who's going to feed for it? Remember when that hamster that died that we got last year? What makes you think that you're ready for a pony? What if instead you said to that child, wouldn't it be fun to have a pony? I can imagine you riding on it to school. You leave it outside by a tree, and then while you're in class, you're waving to it outside the window throughout the day. And you see what he's doing? You're called to dream with your child. Instead of rejecting their dream, you join in their imagining of the future, and perhaps you'll be able to help shape it with godly wisdom, just as this father in Proverbs is doing for his young man, this son of his. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to rush out and go buy a pony, but it does mean it connects you to the heart of your child, and that you can help nurture their hopes and dreams in the right direction, hopefully in a godly and biblical direction. And so, we can do that same thing when we teach kids about relationships and preparing them for marriage. Let's say your preteen daughter comes to you and says, I think I'm in love. Now, a lot of you, your gut response is, you're not in love. You're too young. You don't know what love is. That is being a bad backup singer. Instead, Dr. Greg Smalley, another Christian psychologist, says, maybe you can say to your child, so you think this person is the one? Well, let's sit down and figure out together what kind of boy would be good for you, what kind of boy you would appreciate you, and how you would be a terrific and godly spouse. Let's talk about how to budget and save for your wedding day and for a future home. Maybe this weekend, let's go out and take a look at some model homes for your future wedding. Right? That's being a good backup singer, because it doesn't mean your daughter's going to get married anytime soon when they are 10 years old, but it does validate their feelings in her, because God created her and God created her feelings. Now, parents, you can also bless and shape your child's future marriage by praying regularly, not only for them, but for your future son-in-law or daughter-in-law. You can talk to your children often about marriage and the responsibility it requires. There's a lot of young adults who avoid marriage for fear of making a bad decision. So begin praying now for your child. Teach them that one day they'll leave home, they'll finish school, maybe get a job and get married and start a family, and discuss what each of those adulthood milestones looks like practically and biblically. Finally, cheer all the time for your child. You know, we're so negative. I'm so critical, even with my son, my 3-year-old son. But being able to cheer for your child as far as being able to tell them, as you follow Jesus, I know that you can do this. I believe in you because I believe in what Jesus can do in you and through you. And you will bless their marriage in a big way. Now, not only can we honor our children's marriage when they're young, but we also want to honor them as they leave home as adults and enter into their new homes. A very familiar verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It's probably the best verse on parenting and marriage. It reads, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, I want you to notice in this verse, it says, "A man shall leave his father and mother." Not a child, not an adolescent, a man. It's a parent's job to make sure your children leave home as an adult, that they're still not on the journey to becoming one. Cultivate maturity in your child, because that is going to be a great blessing to their future spouse. Bless your children's marriage by preparing them for the responsibilities of work and marriage, and then release them into their new home to start their own family. But whatever age your child is when they get married, make sure that you are a good backup singer, like the people, the chorus in Song of Solomon. And you do that by honoring your adult child's marriage by allowing them to separate from you well. That's what Genesis 2:24 talks about. Honor your adult child's marriage by allowing them to separate from you well. First of all, honor their marriage by separating from them relationally. You are no longer your child's priority relationship. His or her spouse is. That doesn't mean that you're cut off from them. Instead, you're entering into a new season, a new type of relationship. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 remind us of who are parents, that your children no longer obey you for everything you say, but they'll never stop honoring you. Spend time with your adult children without smothering them. Secondly, honor their marriage by separating emotionally from them. Don't expect your children to make decisions for their marriage and for their family based on your feelings. Where they vacation, how often they're going to visit, needs to be worked out between the couple. Now they have two sets of parents that they need to take into consideration. And you as a parent with your adult child need to be sensitive and understanding when their decision does not fit your plans or your schedule. You, not your children, are 100% responsible for your own emotions, your words, your actions. So I want to challenge you to avoid sending your kids on a guilt trip when the couple doesn't do what you want. Instead, let them know that you're 100% for their marriage. Avoid taking sides when they call you after they've had a big fight with their husband or wife. Yes, they're your child, but you are their backup singer for their marriage, not just for your child. Great backup singers know how to advocate for marriage. Be an ally for their marriage, not a sounding board that validates their spouse bashing. There was a mother who approached a pastor at a wedding and said to him, "How dare you tell my son to stop loving his mom. And the pastor goes to this lady, "You misunderstand what happened. You see, I just told your son in premarital counseling that he needs to stop calling you every day." Newlywed husbands should create an emotional bond with their wife that is stronger than with their mom. The details of his day, his frustrations at work, his fears for his future, his relationships with his friends needs to be shared with his spouse more than with his parents. The spouse, not the parent, is the emotional go-to person. You leave your father and mother, you cleave and join, united in oneness with your spouse. Honor their future marriage by separating, or honor their current marriage for adult children by separating also financially. This is a tough one, especially for many of us from an Asian or Latino background that, you know, we have kids who are living in our home until we're like 50, you know, they're 50. And I know it's hard watching young couples struggle, especially when you have the financial means to help. But remember, you know that the struggle is good. That's what we've been learning this whole summer, especially at the summer retreat when we talked about suffering, that struggle is good for them. Let them buy used cars or used furniture or rent an apartment or drink Folgers instead of Starbucks. You can take them out to dinner occasionally, but let them buy their own stuff. Spoil your grandchildren, not your adult children, all right? Mom and Dad, your ability to separate from your adult child has much to do with their success of the two becoming one, biblically speaking. All right? Now, for those who are married, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, if you rate your own marriage currently as a 5 or 6, then this next part's for you and also for your backup singers, everyone who's sitting here. All right? We also want to not only honor little children or honor their future, not only honor adult children, but honor newlyweds and seasoned couples by encouraging quality couple time for them. And we're going to talk about three little tools that you can use, all right? Every couple Every marriage needs a daily delay, a weekly withdrawal, and an annual abandon. Okay, let me define those though. Not from each other, like, okay, I'm going to delay from seeing my wife or withdraw from her and abandon her. No, not from each other, but together with each other. They need to have this delay, withdrawal, and abandon from the rigors and pressures of daily life. And so, couples, if you spend quality time together, it's a signal to your family and your friends and your children that our marriage is important. We honor Christ by honoring our marriage. And so this is what a daily delay is. I know some of you are thinking like, oh, Jesus, you're giving us major homework. Daily delay is really simple. It's just 15 or 20 minutes every day that is technology-free, child-free, distraction-free conversation. That's it. That's all daily delay is. A weekly withdrawal is that you just have a date night. And a date night doesn't have to be, you know, fancy six, you know, dollar signs on Yelp review restaurant. It can be just hanging out, but something where you get to spend some quality time together, even if it's just watching a movie together at home. I'm a little tired this morning because my wife and I marathon binge-watched Arrow together last night, season 3. We finished the season. That was our date night. More for me. An annual abandon is a getaway out of town at least once a year with your husband or wife. And in Song of Songs, chapter 1 and 2, this man and this woman, they're dating. You might call it courting one another because they're not married until chapter 3. And early on in their relationship, they enjoy quality time together. And in fact, in chapter 2, the man is excited to pick up this woman for a date, and she expresses anticipation. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "My beloved speaks to me and says to me, 'Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away with me.'" She is looking forward to this date. And I want you to notice, gentlemen, that he actually goes and picks her up and takes her out from the house for a date. All right? So that's a sidebar. You see that from like this, dating is always easy early on in a relationship. People want to be together when they first start dating. It's not work for them. It's intoxicating in this new relationship. But something does happen a few years into marriage. You start taking each other for granted. You give the best of your time to everyone else, mostly your kids, and you give each other the leftovers. In January of 2015, Woodland Hills Family Church set out to get couples excited about dating again. And so they gave this date night challenge to their congregation where they said, all the married couples at church, we want you to go on 52 dates in 2015. That's one date per year, all right? And they wanted you to post about it on social media and hashtag 52 and 15. And when people did that, it kept everyone in their church up to date with those who were participating. And what they did was every couple who completed at least 45 dates were entered to win this dream cruise at the end of the year for this couple. Now, disclaimer, we are not offering, okay? We're not bankrolling that for you, all right? You're going to have to put on your big boy pants, get on your own date. All right, so anyway, the purpose of this was so that the church wanted to encourage couples to honor, to enjoy, to prioritize their marriage. And so this is what happened. Thousands of dates were posted online throughout the year. Couples became backup singers for other couples. There was a lot of double dates as couples spurred one another on. Their church rejoices in, delights in, praises the love of these duets in their community. Now, what would happen if our church became known in this community and in your personal communities as great backup singers? If people considering marriage were to look at us and say, man, if you wanted to tie the knot, I definitely would want to be part of that church. Or if hurting couples that were considering divorce would be able to say, the people at that church, they'd help us work through this mess. I believe Jesus would be most glorified if we had that kind of testimony. So maybe your marriage could use a similar challenge. Now, all the married couples are like, not 52, all right? But what if you committed and planned 4 dates over the next 4 weeks? And planning a date together can almost be as much fun as actually going on the date. It builds anticipation. It sparks intimacy. So I want to give you a practical tool. Here's a simple 3-point plan that you can plan out a date easily. One is you theme your date. What is the theme for the day? You're going to be, you're going to enjoy playing together, playing games together. You're going to laugh together. You're going to dream together, have an adventure or intimacy. Then choose your activity. Are you going to dinner? Are you going shopping? Are you going to, on a hike or to a comedy show like 35 people did that came this past Friday? Are you going to see a movie? And then state your goal. And this is important because a lot of dates can be meaningless. But at the end, you say, at the end of my date, we want fill in the blank. And if you do decide to do this 4 for 4 challenge, I'm going to challenge you, couples. This is how I'm going to hold you accountable, whether or not you're participating. You don't have to, okay? It's all by choice. But if you do, I want you to post about it on Facebook. Post photos from your dates for the next 4 weeks with the hashtag 4for4 challenge and maybe tag CFCC Hayward. And I want to tell you the two most common excuses that couples use to get out of dating. Number one, I have kids. Number two, I have no money. So here's where the rest of us as a church come in. If you have the means, be a great backup singer. By encouraging quality times for couples around you by presenting them maybe with a gift card, no money, that excuse is gone. Or offering childcare, watch their kids. I have kids, that excuse is gone too. And this isn't just for single people, like, oh, all the single people have to do this, or all the empty nesters have to do this. You have kids and you're married, maybe consider doing a dating co-op. I'll watch this couple's children, while they go on a date on Tuesday night, and they watch your kids on Thursday night. Some of the couples in our church have done that. Dustin and Valerie have done that for Melissa and I. Dennis and Dana have done that for Melissa and I. That's backups backing up backup singers. I want to challenge you. Don't make excuses. There's a newly married bride who shared this story about how her parents honored the marriages of their adult children. These two parents, these older parents, they called her and her siblings, and they challenged them to plan the most creative date that they could pick up. And when all of these adult children returned home for Christmas, each of the couples presented their ideas to the family. And then they voted together on who had the most creative idea. And the winner would win an all-expense-paid vacation from their parents. And you know what? And the parents said, we will provide childcare for you so that you can go on this vacation. And it's just, you know, that's the bonus for grandparents. Like, I could just spend extra quality time with my beloved grandkids. These parents get what it means to be a great backup singer. This friendly family competition is their way of saying, your marriage is important to us. We want to bless you with the gift of quality time. Encourage couples' quality time. When you do, it's a great way to prevent marital crisis. It's kind of like when you go on dates regularly, it's kind of like having regular doctor appointments to prevent you from having an extended hospital stay. However, most of us at some point in life will find ourselves in the middle of someone else's marriage crisis. And when that happens, I want to challenge you for the next point, to honor couples in crisis by advocating for both spouses, not just one, both spouses. Every time you hear this chorus, these singers in the Song of Solomon, they esteem marriage as highly valuable. And in chapter 5, what happens here is they're newlyweds, and like many people returning home from their honeymoon, conflict soon finds its way into their marriage. And so what's happening in chapter 5 is this woman is filled with remorse after their fight, and she's out in the streets searching for her husband, and then she runs into these backup singers, the chorus. And again, they relentlessly promote oneness in marriage. In Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1, it says, the singers sing, where has your beloved gone, O most beautiful amongst women? Where has your beloved turned, that we may seek him with you? You notice what they did not say? Your husband, what a creep. Shame on him for treating you that way. You deserve way better than that. You see, good backup singers never initiate or engage in spouse bashing sessions. Instead, they ask, what can we do to help? This chorus in Song of Solomon, they are engaged in a reconciliation mission for this newly married couple. And I wonder how many of you, even recently, received news from a child or a friend that their marriage is headed towards separation or divorce. And what do we say or do when someone close to us is in a troubled marriage and wants to call it quits? First, if they've called you, you are the first line of God's defense. Don't resist that opportunity. I know a lot of times we don't want to get involved in other people's messiness. but you can start off by listening to and validating their feelings without condoning their bad decision. Did you hear that? Listen to someone's feelings, like, you know what, I feel terrible, I'm so angry at my spouse, I want to leave them. You can listen to their feelings, validate your feelings, I understand you feel that way, I can see why you would feel that way, without condoning bad decisions that they may be making. Don't join them in bashing or putting down their spouse. Don't join them in justifying the words or the actions of the other spouse. But your goal is to keep the communication lines open. You do need to remind them, not only as you validate their feelings, remind them of some truth as well. Because oftentimes, the hurt spouse will rewrite history. If my husband or my wife cheated on me, they must never have loved me. No. In that moment, you need to remind them, that's not true. I've known you two a long time. I know that you have loved each other. Yes, this is a terrible situation, and we're not going to gloss over the sin. But your husband, your wife, they do love you, and they have loved you. And this situation, is God can heal this. But the goal, like I said, is to keep the communication lines open so that they will continue to lean on you for help instead of turning away from you. Be a good backup singer by validating their feelings and validating truth. Secondly, point them in the right direction. You can offer support for couples by helping them find a good counselor or a good marriage class. Some of you, you may have the financial means to help make that possible for them. Perhaps invite a hurting couple to your small group or your Bible study. Recommend some marriage books or a marriage retreat or a marriage conference, or send them some website links that offer help to hurting couples. But like the chorus in Song of Solomon, you need to be on a relentless reconciliation mission to the glory of Jesus and the good of others. Thirdly, and this is actually the most important one, you're going to say it's trite, but you need to ask couples, do you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? And I know that sounds silly, but if they answer yes, then you remind them that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 tells us that same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to raise dead marriages back to life. That same power is available for us today. If they say, no, I don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then you introduce them to the only one who can save their lifeless soul. If God has power to breathe life into his dead son, then he has power to breathe life into dead marriages. I think about several couples that are sitting here today who have been through their own marriage crises. Some of you thought about giving up, but they're still here to tell another story, one of resurrection through the power of Christ. Lastly, I want to challenge you to also honor senior couples by recognizing their commitment and following their examples. Now, I want to qualify this. Senior, not in age, but in experience in their marriages. And I say that because what I want to do right now is, if there's anyone sitting in our congregation this morning who has been married for more than 25 years, I want you to stand up. If you've been married for more than 25 years. Don't pretend like you don't know. I'm looking right at you. I see you. You've been married more than 25 years. Jovic, you were more yes, let's give them a hand. This church honors your commitment. Thank you for modeling marriage for us. You can take a seat. One senior recently pointed out to me, in our day, when something was broke, you didn't throw it away. You fixed it. We have much to learn from couples who just stood. When life throws challenges at you, thank God that we have spouses that we can go through those challenges with. Do you know why couples stay married for over 50 plus years? Our culture would throw many answers at that question. Couples stay together because they're soulmates, or because they're compatible, because of love, right? The real answer is because of character. You see, commitment in marriage flows out from character. You make a decision to honor your vow through the grace and power of Christ. You make a decision to love one another in sickness or in health, richer or for poorer, in good times or in bad times, till death do you part. Dr. Scott Stanley from the University of Denver writes, commitment is making a choice to give up all other choices. Commitment is not looking for greener grass, but it's staying home and watering your own lawn. And character trumps compatibility in thriving marriages. Many of you, when you're surfing the internet, you see all these online dating sites, and you may think that compatibility and chemistry are the keys to success in marriage. They're not. Compatibility is not something that you find. It's not something that you discover. It's not something that you test for. Compatibility is something you create over a long period of time. You learn to enjoy one another. You learn to become compatible with one another. That's why we need the character of Christ, the fruit of His Spirit from Galatians, because commitment flows out of that character. And so I want to wrap up with this verse to encourage you. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. King Solomon writes, "Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your life that he's given under the sun, because that is your portion in life." For some of us, we've come to believe that having a life and having a wife are mutually exclusive categories. We need to esteem marriage, because this verse reminds us and reminds ourselves that you don't need to choose between the two. You can enjoy both your life and your marriage both at the same time. And so just remember, all of us sitting here, every follower of Jesus is called to esteem marriage as highly valuable. In closing, I want to remind you, those of you who are parents, friends who are parents, I want your children to rejoice in their marriage. And you want that too. And this church desires to join you as a backup singer to prepare your children for marriage one day. The more backup singers that you can get into your child's life, the better. Single friends, statistically speaking, research says that there's a 90% chance that you will walk down the aisle someday. And this church desires to be a backup singer to your future duet starting now. If you are called and choose singleness for life, we honor you as well. And we ask that you would join our church to be that chorus from Song of Solomon, the voices that honor and lift up Jesus by honoring and lifting up other people's marriages. Newlyweds, we want your marriage to make it to the half-century mark. And this church desires to be your backup singer to this new marriage by rejoicing in your young and budding love. And married folks, longer married, if your marriage is off-key, due to boredom, due to crisis, this church desires to be a backup singer that brings your duet back into harmony. May the years ahead of you be the high point of your marriage instead of having to look behind. Senior couples, we thank you, and we will continue to imitate your beautiful duets for generations to come. I'm so glad that you're here today. I want you to know that your duet is important to this church, that our desire is to be a backup singer for you. We seek to honor marriage. Your marriage is important to you, to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your friends, to your community, and this church. And our prayer is that your marriage thrives, and that like Ephesians 5, the gospel of Jesus would be proclaimed through it. In your bulletin, you have a commitment card. Nobody's going to twist your arm. It's completely up to you what you want to do with it. But I ask that you take it out and at least look at it. And I want to ask this. May all of us leave here with at least one couple in mind and maybe a tangible way that we can honor their marriage. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now, giving you a commitment, bringing someone to mind. What marriage do you need to be a backup singer for? Don't let today get away from you. Make the call. Text an encouragement. Meet up for coffee with them. Invite them to dinner. Take the next step. And for those of you who are married, and before I move to the married people, I ask that you would write down a very specific, there's a whole bunch of boxes you can check that mean nothing. I ask that you would say, write down what is that specific thing that you need to do for a married couple that you want to be a backup singer for. And married couples, I do also want to challenge you. I didn't forget. I'm not challenging you to 52 dates in 52 weeks. But what I do think is doable over the next 4 weeks is I want to challenge you to do 4 dates in 4 weeks. A 4 for 4 challenge. And if you're willing to do that, I dare you to sign a dotted line at the bottom. Make a covenant with God for your spouse. And there's some basic instructions at the bottom. You figure it out. All right? Let's bow in a word of prayer.